How many of y'all believe that's the point? There's one thing in here that'll change your life forever, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the absolute point of God. Brooks just gave an illustration of that. A man who's been following the Lord Jesus Christ for a long time. But he says, you know what? I want the world to know. I want the world to know that I am buried in Christ, and I'm what? Risen in Christ. So today, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what our prayer is that you would consider Jesus in your life. You say, well, why in the world do I need to follow Jesus? Because without him, you'll never know heaven. Without him, your sins will never be forgiven. Without him, you never have an eternal life. That's how important this rhythm is, that Jesus died and that Jesus what? Lives. You know, sometimes we wonder, what in the world do you say to a crazy world? How many of y'all ever wondered, what in the world do you say to a crazy world? You know, because sometimes it looks like, you know, man, nobody's listening. How many of y'all have ever had that moment in life? Nobody's listening. I'm trying to tell them, but nobody's what? Listening. I want to encourage you today as we go into 1 Corinthians, first chapter. We're still in the first chapter. Now, I want you to notice last week we talked about divisions. We talked about how it's very easy for some people to say, you know, I follow Paul. I follow this. I follow that. I'm one of these. Okay, now I want to challenge you with something. Also, don't become church arrogant. I'm going to call this term church arrogant. It's not that you attend Hillview or you attend Living Hope or you attend Rich Pond or you go to Broadway or you go to, you know, Swamp Creek Church somewhere. It's that you are a part of Jesus Christ's ministry. Does that make sense? Now, I want to tell you, now look how it's kind of going in 1 Corinthians, okay? Unless we're unified in Christ, the volume of our message gets turned down a whole lot. And I think about this a lot. I think about on Sunday afternoon, right around lunchtime, right around dinner time, on Sunday, I wonder what people hear about Jesus. I would say our true message comes out at lunch. You know, when the church folk invade the restaurants on Sunday afternoon, I wonder what we tell. Do we tell about what Jesus has done in our lives? Do we tell about how worship encouraged us this week? Or do those who don't know Jesus just hear about what we personally didn't like? I'm afraid it's the latter than the first. I'm afraid they hear about the division more than they do the unity in Christ. Is this making sense? Now look at this. Paul's got a corrupt culture. How many of y'all would say that our culture is probably corrupt? Okay, now listen. Here's what I want to tell you about culture. It's always been corrupt. This is not something new. Here's the only thing new about it. You can find out about it instantly on your phone. That's the only difference. All this stuff's been going on forever and ever. It's just now it's broadcast more. We didn't have the ability to broadcast it in the past like we do today. Now we can see our corruption globally, right? Well, let's take that in a positive way. What if we saw the works of God globally? Now, I know some of you in here, especially 8 o'clock service, a lot of you teach, a lot of you preach, a lot of you minister. Now, let's really look. What does the world need to hear? It was intriguing to me. Here's Paul. He's got a young church at Corinth, and he brings them the absolute message. Now, this sounds simple. Eddie, this sounds simple, but in my years of ministry, I look at this is the number one people thing, the number one thing people back away from. You'll hear everything from the church except the cross. I've even heard Christian people say this. Well, we can't give them the full strength Jesus thing right off the bat. They might be offended and turn away. Who in the world gave you that thought? Let me show you how errant that kind of thinking is. First of all, you believe this. You believe the woo of your personality draws people to Christ. I know you're charming, but you're not that good. And really what you're saying is this, I like that person, and if I tell them what I believe, they may not like me anymore for what I believe. Well, I encourage you to become a believer. You see, when you become a believer, you either believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you stand in that, or you deny him as Lord. Now, what happens in America, most of us believe he's a Lord for about an hour a week. We sing him Lord, we pray him Lord, we listen to his word, and we say, yeah, he is Lord. And then when we get out in the world, we say, well, he's one of my lords. You know, most of us on Monday morning, are you thinking about Jesus, or are you thinking about how to turn a dime? Are you thinking about how Jesus wants to lead your life? Are you thinking about, well, what's in it for me? These are tough struggles. That's why we need to worship all the time. That's why we need to pray all the time. That's why we need to know what the Word of God says all the time. That's why we got to have some healthy relationships around us that kind of elbow us in love and say, hey, what about this? And that's why we got to give our lives into active service. That's why we practice those big five. I want to show you what Paul preached to a world that was derailing. And we get some really good information, okay? Don't be surprised if people reject Jesus. If you don't mind, just kind of wake your neighbor up there and say, hey, don't be surprised. Just tell them, don't be surprised. It's gone on a long time. Now, let's check his theory out, because I've heard it for the past 20 years. Well, now, Pastor Steve, I've heard this about Hillview. I've had several folks told me, said, I can't go to Hillview. You're too strong on the cross and resurrection. You offend people. Well, it's not me offending them. It's that they choose not to believe. And I really want to encourage you guys, we don't get to change the gospel just because it doesn't fit this generation. See, here's the difference. You and I are never consistent, and God always is. That's why we struggle with him. You and I are never consistent, and God always is. If we really look at our lives, we're not always consistent, are we? I mean, y'all have heard this. Well, I can't go to church because there's hypocrites there. And I said, we can use one more. Come on in. We're all hypocritical at different times in our lives, true? You know, last year all I heard about was the University of Kentucky, and now all Kentucky fans have gone silent like it's a monastery. Except Chuck. I'm proud of Chuck. He wears his blue and white, win or lose. He's with them. Now, hold on. You know, Jesus Christ is with us no matter what happens to us. That's the good news. That's the strength and the power of the gospel. And let's look at what Paul said. For the message of the cross, the message of what? The message of the what? Is foolishness to those who are perishing. Boy, is that not the word of the 21st century. What do they call people? I know what they call people like me. I'm foolish. Did you know that? To the quasi, what I call the quasi, the pseudo-intellectual community, I am quasi because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he's truly real. He's a reality. I believe that he died on a cross. We even got preachers today. We got these young preachers, and they wanted to make sure that the gospel fits the world. One of them said that he just can't deal with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's an ancient, cruel kind of situation. No, that's real. What he can't deal with in a very shallow generation is there's a God that can make that kind of commitment. And just because he can't understand that kind of commitment doesn't change God's commitment. Just because it doesn't fit in to the politically correct society of today doesn't mean it's not real. In fact, to me, it means it's even more real. How can I read a text that it's a couple of thousand years old and hear the same thing going on today as was going on then? The message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those that are what? Perishing. Paul said, don't be alarmed. To those that do not want to believe, to those that do not receive grace, they are not going to say, you're doing wonderful. So don't be surprised when they talk about you. Don't be surprised if they hate you. And don't be surprised if they don't buy into your Jesus. What do you think? I mean, there's people that think we're foolish this morning. Why in the world would people come and worship a God they can't see? Well, it's because I can see him, and I can hear him, and I've heard him, and I've been changed by it, and my life is not what it used to be because Jesus is real. How many of y'all got that testimony on you? So guess what? On Sunday morning, we show up with each other because we what? Believe. Now, for those that don't believe, are they going to show up to church on Sunday morning? Not unless you invite them. Because they're not going to believe until they hear that Jesus is Lord. And so that's how important the invite is. That you would invite them to hear this message. That you would invite them to hear about a Jesus that could change their lives. Because what some people do. They go, well, I love this one. I'm going to wait to follow Jesus. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, a grand event to happen in your life? You see, we are to preach the what? Cross. The preaching of the cross. I mean, go check it. Go listen on the internet. I hear a lot of sermons about all the things we need to do. I hear about how the culture is. Or you can go to the anti-preaching, where the preacher just tells you everything you don't need to do. I know most of the things I don't need to do. What I really need, though, is an encounter with the cross of Jesus Christ so I don't do the things I want to do. Amen? How many of you all don't do some of the things you used to do? Okay, let me ask you a question. Why? No, answer that question. Why? Huh? You're more in love? Okay, cool. Why else? God changed me. How many of y'all found this? Once you started following Jesus, some of the things that used to be attracted to you aren't attracted to you anymore. I even quit doing some stuff without realizing I quit doing it. How many of y'all have had that happen? That may be age, too. I can't do it anymore. But you know what I mean? As you journey through life, what happens? The more you fall in love with God, the more the cross, that inwrought cross, does its work in us. It crucifies the things that aren't of God, and it raises up the things that are of God in our lives. Doesn't that make sense? One of the things that I try to get the church to see and people who are following Jesus to see is this. The cross and resurrection is not a one-time event. It is a one-time event that keeps playing out in our lives over and over and over again. Doesn't that make sense? Paul, who wrote this letter, understood that in Galatians when he said, I am being what? Crucified with who? Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who now lives in me. Man, once you get to that point, guess what? You'll start talking cross. You'll start talking cross. I don't have a plan B. That's why I'm so committed to plan one. If you only got one plan, plan A, then you're going to totally believe what? It's one. So I'm going to encourage you today to go to plan A and realize there's not a plan B. That'll change how you talk to folk. Because you know what I really believe? I believe some of you think there's a plan B. I mean, you wouldn't say it out loud in front of the church. You wouldn't say it in your Bible study class. You wouldn't say it to your family. But how many of you all live like there's plan B? Well, he's a loving and merciful God, and surely all these people won't go to hell. I know God's told me to go tell them. I'm pretty committed to that. I see that. I don't tell people, but surely to goodness, the loving God that created us all wouldn't let that many people go to hell. He didn't. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to do what? To come, to live, to die, and to live on. So that anyone, whoever, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord might be. I don't know about you all, but does that sound logically merciful to you all? It does to me. And then what else do we want? We would rather in this moment of time sit around and spend our lives wondering what's fair than engaging in life. How many of y'all have not done something because, wah, it wasn't fair? Life's not fair. I love reading biographies. Everybody that's accomplished, everybody that's made some significant contribution has never had an easy road to get there. I don't know anybody that's led well, contributed to the world, that had an easy path. I can't think of one person that made a difference on an easy road. Because you know what? There are no easy roads. There are possible roads. And the cross opens up the reality and the possibility of heaven in our lives. And without it, guess what? The reality of heaven is not there. So if you don't desire that, you don't want to be a part of that, then this message of the cross sounds like what? Foolishness. To who? To those who are perishing. Well, just because they don't like it, does that mean you got to quit saying it? I really believe this. I believe we've spent more time in the church trying to get lost people to like the church than preaching to them the gospel so that their eyes and their ears and their hearts might be changed. Church makes no sense without Jesus. You see, for those who are perishing, it seems to be foolish. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of what? God. When I sing about the cross, pray about the cross, think about the cross, I become fully surrendered. Because here's what I love about the cross. The cross is the only genuine place of human equality. And that's why the world and all of its attempts to make everybody equal will never make anybody equal. Have you noticed? Every human dilemma we try to fix, we never fix it. Because it's not a human problem, Jack. It's a spiritual problem. And we never fix it. Watch this. Has political correctness fixed racism? No, it's just made it polite. We really do believe that. We believe if we can, put a little perfume on stink, everything's okay. Don't we? We walk around with our little bathroom fresheners all the time. We think if we can put flowers on bad smells that eventually it'll be okay. You see, the best we can do is cover up things for a moment. What the cross does is expose those things and crucifies them forever. Now do you understand the power of the cross? Because Paul said this, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many of y'all are glad to know that God has the power to forgive sin? Now watch this. There's two things that we're exactly all alike on. We're exactly all alike on. How many of y'all realize that we're all sinners? Not some of us are sinners. How many are sinners? All of us. Even nice, wonderful, good people are still what, Alan? Even sweet, politically correct people that never say negative things about other people and pretend to not be judgmental, although they say those sweet things because their life is full of judgment. See how hypocritical we are? Full of judgment. When you bust on a Christian, you're what? Judging. You see, it's not our position to judge. Somebody, at least give me a head nod on that. I mean, at least consider that. That the Christian population, our job is not judgment, but our job is tell it. If you notice this, those who mature in Christ tell more about Jesus and judge humanity less. Have you noticed that when you get full of grace? You judge less, love more. How many of y'all found that to be the pattern? And when you're an immature believer or you're a religious-only believer, you judge constantly and love little. In fact, I think people that don't know the power of the Christ, the power of the cross or the power of the Christ, they always look at the problem and they never focus on the solution. You know, it's the world's going to hell. You know, I hear people, well, the world's going to hell. I go, yes, next. I've been aware of that from the beginning for all of sin. The world is going to hell. Now, what's got us bothered? It's going faster than it used to be. Yeah, you know, we're kind of okay with the car at 10 miles an hour, aren't we? In fact, the world feels like today, a few years back when I pastored Barron River Baptist Church, I had one of the brothers up there, and he pulled into the parking lot. Timmy, this guy was crazy. You know what I mean? Crazy. He pulled in the parking lot and he had a 1967 Chevelle Super Sport with a 396 in it that he had totally, totally worked on, Mark. I mean, this car would fly. Now, I have to be honest with you, and Mitch, please, the rest of you law enforcement people, cover your ears. I used to love to drive cars fast. How many of y'all ever just love driving cars fast? Good. Now, all of our law enforcement people know who to look for. And but you know what? I got in this car with him. And I knew things were going to be bad because he didn't have a regular seatbelt. He had a harness. You know, like a race car, boom, it's strapped. And so I pulled the harness over, I strapped it on. You know, I was looking forward to this. For some reason, if I'm driving, I'm not scared going fast. But when somebody else is driving like I drive, it scares me severely. And we were going down Barren River Road. If you've ever been out in the Barren River community, you can't find a straight road out there. As we went around Restbrook Road, curved sideways with smoke coming off the back wheels, at 16, I thought that was pretty cool. With a three-month-old son, guess what I was thinking about? I could die in this car. That's kind of the way the world feels right now, doesn't it? We're kind of strapped in a harness, and, you know, things used to go to hell slowly. Have you noticed that? Now they're going what? Wide open. Now, hold on. Don't be frustrated. The Bible said this day would come. The Bible said there would be a day where evil multiplied. And we're in that day, okay? You can't deny that we're in a day where you can communicate globally and that doesn't change things, okay? You can't keep your eyes closed to that. But guess what? Just because the day changes, David, you know, I'm not busting on Corvettes, but I had a 1980 Corvette, and I noticed the ones you've designed today ride a lot better than that 1980 Corvette. In fact, Elizabeth made me sell it because she said my Harley was smoother than the Corvette. And it had no shocks on the back. You know, it's a different world. God's calling someone today. Softly. See, technology, I bring it up and it goes off. How many of y'all realize that when I started preaching, we never had to worry about cell phones going off in the service? Guess why? Ben, guess why? Watch this, I'm going to blow your little mind away. Did you realize that 30 years ago, nobody had a cell phone except the military in Israel? Pretty wild, isn't it? How many of y'all remember life before cell phones? Yep. I'm at the 8 o'clock service. How many of y'all remember a rotary dial? Oh, look at here. Anybody remember calling up Sarah to see if Bob was at the neighborhood? Jim Brick, get your hand up. You and my dad back there, you all remember going, hey, Sarah, you get Joe down the road? I bet that caused some division among the church because you had party lines, and when you were gossiping about somebody else, somebody could be on the line. It's just like now with wireless phones. There's always those people with police scanners also listening to your conversation. But you know what? If you're talking about the cross, you're all right no matter where you are, right? Now, note the cross. We all sin the same. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, what do we like to do? I want to warn you about this because our job is to show the world the power of the cross. What do you think, Fainter? Isn't that the message? I mean, you lived out there in California. Now, we in Kentucky, when we look out there in California, we just think y'all are nuts. And when California looks down into the heartland, they think we're all what? Primitive beings. Almost prehistoric. You know, I mean, California's got it all figured out. They got themselves so far in debt, they can't do anything anymore. They're brilliant people out there. And then on the other coast, they're so brilliant, they got themselves so covered up in debt, they can't even put a stop sign up. It takes them 12 months to go through all the bureaucracy to get a stop sign up. Because they're so intelligent. You know, my question is, when are we going to wake up and finally look at the world and say, you know what? You're not as brilliant as you've made yourselves out to be. How many of y'all found the ways of the world are not as brilliant as you think they are? Now, here's the problem with the ways of the world. They will bring you momentary perks. That's why they're attractive. But the power of the cross is eternal. We all sin. I think you got to come to grips with that. And I think you need to have this attitude. The power of the cross and the power of the church is we're here to preach Jesus, live Jesus out, so that our lives would get better together. Isn't that the mission of the church? Our job's not to tell everybody how horrible they are. How many of y'all have ever been to one of those churches? Lord have mercy, I've been through some revivals. Man, the guy started up, I was so far in hell in the first 15 minutes, I thought I was never going to get out. Y'all ever been to one of those sermons? And all they talked about was sin. Well, Paul didn't just talk about sin. He talked about the power over sin, which is the power of the cross. And he preached on. He said, now don't be surprised. Be careful of being attractive to what looks smart. Here's the way I say it. Be very careful with people that don't know how to use simple words. What's amazing to me about Jesus is he came from heaven, the glory of God. And Jesus's brilliance was, is he used the things on earth to show us the reality of heaven in ways that we could what? Understand. I was always taught this in my educational years. It's changed now, that a truly intelligent person can communicate a complex situation where the everyday person can understand it. That's a person with deep brilliance. But today, we kind of like to hear all these words that we really don't know what they mean, but they sound what? They sound like smart words. How many of y'all ever throw out smart words just so people might think you're smart? Yeah, we do that. But really, our job is not to show the world who we are, but it is to show the world who saved us. You see, there's two places we find absolute equality in humanity. And unless you can help me with some other places, Donna, I know you've studied this all your life. I've only found two places of total equality. We absolutely, totally sin, all of us. And the second place of total, absolutely pure equality is that we're all saved the same way. Pretty cool, isn't it? We're not all born the same way. Some of us are born at the house. Some of us are born in the hospital. Some of us are born upside down. Some of us try to come out feet first. You know, we have all different ways we're born, but guess what? We all are reborn the same way. And we're born into the same position. Forgiveness, and we become the glory of God. And that sounds foolish to those that what? Resist and reject that message. Look what he says. He says, be careful. Tell them about the cross, the power of the cross, live in it. Because it is written, he goes back to Isaiah, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligent of the intelligent, I will what? Frustrate. And boy, unless you just closed your eyes, what religious group gets everybody crazy? I'm looking at you. Christians. Because our message seems foolish to those who are perishing. Drowning men say strange things. Godly men. The cross. The resurrection. The reality of God. In fact, I pray that we as the church and that the churches who believe in Jesus will begin to be moved in such a way that we will no longer be the testimony of what we can do, but we will absolutely deliver to the world what only God can do. And that is save the souls of men and women from hell through the power of the cross. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent. I will frustrate. I think when this was written, but then I think about when Jesus was alive. I think about Corinth. I think about Rome. I think about all their philosophers. I think about all their orators. I think about all the ideas they had and all the technology that was moving in the time of Rome. And that great empire hasn't been a whisper in about 1,700 years. I promise you, if we lived in Rome, they were as arrogant as we are. They were unstoppable, immovable. They were conquerors. They had their armies all over the world, but they did not pay attention to the power of the cross. In fact, many said it was foolish. And guess what? Those who believed in Jesus in Rome, they went on. And those who refused him are gone forever. Same set of principles today. Same lines drawn. Because who drew the lines? God did. So I want to encourage you. Don't ever forget, God's taking you to where only He can take you. Where is the wise person? Paul asks the question, well, where are these wise people? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I think He has. I think some of you all are an illustration of the foolishness of the wisdom of the world. Here's why I'm showing you. How many of you all were ever told that you would never be it, you could never make it, and you could never accomplish? Anybody hear those hard words in your life? And then Jesus Christ came into your life and showed you absolutely who you could be and changed everything in your reality. I mean, you all had that moment. You see, that's how powerful the cross is. I have found this. You got to be careful who you listen to. How many of y'all need to be careful who you listen to? Listen, don't listen to people that tell you what you can't do. Don't listen to that stuff. Listen to the power of the cross that's in your life. In fact, you know what this culture needs? It needs cross culture. We need some young men and women that would preach the cross into the culture instead of trying to adjust the Christ and the cross to the culture. We need the cross in culture. And it's here. And you're doing it. But I encourage you to go tell it more. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not what? Know Him. That's why, Bob, we got to go what? We got to go tell it. In fact, the world says, how are they going to be saved if nobody preaches to them? If nobody tells them? How many of y'all love somebody enough to tell them? Now, don't tell them. Watch it. And please don't tell them this. Please do not tell them if they come to church, they'll have fun. I'm going to break my tablet over somebody's head. The next time I hear you need to come to church to have fun, that is an absolute abomination to the church. And if you notice, all the fun churches are dying because there's no power in fun. And God didn't bring us together to entertain us. He didn't bring us together to stimulate us. He didn't bring us together to motivate us. He brought us together to save us so that we might become His glory. The purpose of the church is not our fellowship, but His fellowship in us. And that requires the power of the cross. None of this works without the power of the cross. Kind of works like this. How many of y'all have ever had a computer problem so far? I remember one day, man, I was saying things to my computer that Jesus would not appreciate. The computer had frustrated me to no end. I think a computer is just one step away from being a lawnmower that doesn't run. I mean, it got to go crazy. I was tore up. HB, guess what I needed to do? Plug it in. Man, that sounds... How many of you have ever done something stupid? I do stupid things. I mean, I just admit that to you. This morning, I've already done a stupid thing this morning. I was starting to get anxious. I couldn't find my keys. I went downstairs, got my truck. They weren't in there. I came back out. I'm looking for my keys. And so, what do you husbands do? Who takes your stuff if it's missing? Your wife does. That's where you go. Y'all have the same husband, huh? Well, I look at Elizabeth, I said, have you seen my keys? And about that time, I stuck my hand in my pocket, and guess where my keys were? Now, it may be early signs that I'm losing my mind. Elizabeth said that's been going on since she married me. But she said, honey, we'll never know if you've lost your mind because you've been losing it along the way. Power of the cross in the midst of a culture. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. Don't be shocked. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who what? Believe. And so if they think you're a little bit foolish, here's kind of way I want to leave it with you today. I think it'd be better to one who surrenders to the cross that the world calls a fool. I would rather be a fool headed to heaven than an intellect with the destiny of hell. But if you're going to please the world, I encourage you to do this. Please enjoy your accolades. Really get puffed up and let that ego get real big, because there'll be no big egos in hell. And if all you got's a bumper sticker that says, I love Jesus, that isn't powerful enough to take you into glory. You better have a life that's remade by Jesus. Now listen to what he said. The Jews demand signs and the Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. How many of y'all hear about Christ crucified here? Y'all think it's crazy? I'm talking 21st century. I'm talking right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I'm talking right here in the church that you all attend on a regular basis. I've had more than one person leave this church because we talk too much about the cross and resurrection. What am I supposed to preach? I know what they want me to preach. They want me to preach their moral code. I'm not going to live your moral code, and I'm not going to live my moral code. And guess what? I came to the realization I can't live God's moral code. He wrote it down in 10 steps, and I broke all 10. And so have you, because if you've broken one, you broke how many? But I tell you what I'm going to live in. God's grace. Because that's the only hope of heaven I got, Dave, and that's the only hope of heaven you got. And by the way, all these super righteous people that like to tell you how to live your lives, like to be little sin spotters. I call them Barney Fife Christians. You know, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. Lord have mercy. I mean, how stupid can people absolutely be? I've had people come up to me and go, you know, there's some people in your church that drink beer. I go, you think? There's several thousand people here. You reckon? I said, do you reckon that's what God's about? I'm going to tell you something else. You point that finger and accuse another being of being sinful. Let me tell you what. I pray for your soul in a deep way. Because you've just said you're better than God at it. And the last time I looked, he who thought he was better than God was named Lucifer. And he will never be with God ever. The message is not Hillview Heights Church. The message is not being a Baptist. The message is not being conservative, moderate, or liberal. The message is Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I am a sinful human being in need of the mercy and the grace of God. And every one of us have to come to a moment where we say, my God, have mercy on me, a what? Sinner. And God says, I will. And then we're brought into the foolishness of the cross. Here's what I found. God saved a lot of people that wasn't supposed to be saved. How many of y'all have noticed that? Most of them attend Hillview. How many of you all were never supposed to be in church? I'll tell you the fools. Elizabeth and I had our 30-year reunion. I can't believe she'd been out of high school that long. And I went with her. And we had our 30-year reunion. Watch this. This is 30 years. I started preaching some back in high school. Now, I didn't know what I was talking about, but I attempted. Does that make sense? But people looked at me and they said, man, Ayers, we still can't believe you're a preacher of a church. I had one response after 30 years. Jesus' cross and his resurrection are real. And he changes people. Period. You know what I've learned? The older I get, it's not complex that makes life difficult. It's simple stuff. How many of y'all have noticed that? The more you age, the more you get excited about simple stuff. Like Elizabeth let me have 2 tag-alongs last night. And I treasured them. I ate them like a little squirrel, just little bites at a time. So I'm saying? I'm treasuring it. But hold on. I didn't used to get all, you know, jacked up about tag-alongs because I could eat a whole box. But now she says, we better ration these. I even let the peanut butter stick on my teeth so I could act like I was eating another one, you know, just enjoying it. How many of y'all found it's simple things? Like the older you get, how many of y'all glad every morning you get up, you got up? See, when you were young, you got up and went, oh, here we go again. When you're old, you get up and you go, still here. You're grateful for what? Now, I just want to give you a heads up. Don't think simplicity isn't powerful. And don't think simplicity doesn't penetrate the intellect of this world. Being complex does not mean you're brilliant. And sometimes it allows people to know how foolish you truly are. You know, if you can take a broom and sweep the floor and you develop, you know, all these mechanical operations that cost millions of dollars to sweep the floor, you're not too intelligent. Just sweep the floor. Sometimes we just got to go get it done. And never forget this. It's not what we look for, it's what we believe. The Jews, they wanted signs and wonders. They got them and they still didn't believe. The Greeks, the Gentiles, they sought wisdom and heard things they'd never heard before, but they still turned away. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. There are those that will hear the message of Jesus and say, what? He is Lord. Because God opens their eyes and their ears and their minds to understand the foolishness of the cross. I've changed my mind about churchy systems all through the era. I think that's flexible. I've never changed my mind, Cindy, about this. There's one way to heaven. Jesus Christ. You say, what about all those other people? I'm going to tell as many of them as I can until I get out of here. And if you love them, you'll tell them. And if they say, man, I can't believe that, then guess what? Say, well, you know what? That's okay. It's not okay. I'm going to keep telling you. I got a buddy of mine. I've been talking to him about Jesus for Jeff. We're coming up on, 27 years. Jamie, he hadn't received Christ. He asked me one time, he said, when are you going to quit talking to me about this? I said, when you're dead. He said, when will that be? I said, I have no idea. I mean, this guy's, He's hard. He said, man, I've done too much. I'm going to hell. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Now, see, he's stating the truth, Dr. Blevins. That's right. There's nothing you can do about it. But there's the power of Jesus that can do what? Bring you to where you can be. Can you imagine if the world was released to the power of the cross, how many everyday problems we'd solve? The message of healing and life is right there with us at all times. And we would rather turn to the wisdom of the world than the foolishness of the cross. And let me show you what God did. He took the wisdom of the world and he turned it upside down for the foolishness. Look at verse 25. Never forget this. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Yeah. How many of you all found it to be true? For the foolishness of God. What is foolish in heaven is wiser than what is superiorly intellectual here on earth. See, we can't cure cancer, but God can heal it. You see, we haven't discovered how to live on forever, but God has made that happen. And here's our struggle. Here is our wrestling moment most of the time. We want to show God that we can do things better than he designed them to go. How many of y'all have ever gotten a product, you know, and it gives you an owner's manual with the product? And it says, don't do this with the product. And you had to go do it just to show them that the product would do that. And when it tore up, you went back and said, don't do this with the product. Make sense? I mean, if you get a brand new Corvette, David, you don't need to stomp that gas pedal all the way to the floorboard right off the bat, do you? No, you don't do that. You all probably have warnings of that. This is a very high-powered car. It'll go really fast. You can die in this car if you go really fast. And then there'll be somebody going 180 miles an hour around one of those curves up at Barron River Road, and they'll eat a tree, And then at the funeral home, this is how stupid people are. Well, how could God let this happen? Because God looked and said, man, if they're going to be that stupid, I need them up here with me before they hurt somebody. We're careless. We're not wise. We don't think it's going to get us. These are the thoughts of human wisdom. We think we can outthink God. We think, a lot of us think we're smarter than God. I love dealing with my sociological friends that study society. They've so overwhelmingly solved so many problems with all their great grants. They show me that Paul was spot on. An intellectual who had been overwhelmed by the cross for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And never forget this. The weakness of God is stronger than any human strength. And that's all human strength. Intellectual strength, governmental strength, military strength, personality strength. You know, Bob's kind of an interesting argument Paul draws there, isn't it? You see, here's the problem. There is no weakness in God. But he said, even the weakest of God's things would be greater than any human thing. So today we got a decision to make. And here's why I say you need to do it now. I want to tell a story of a dear brother that was in our congregation and preached his funeral Friday. He was from across the pond. Not our pond, England. He came here about this time last year and he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and God did a mighty work in his life. He truly understood the power of the cross. He was so excited that Jesus was doing a work in his life. Memorial Day, he ended up being married. October, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And a week ago today, he passed away. Less than a year of his baptism. It could have been tragic. But it wasn't. It could have been forever, but it wasn't, because on a Sunday, he decided to square up with God. He didn't know what the future held, but he decided to trade into what the future held for who held the future. You see, we never know. I've told you all this 100 times. I say it all the time. Here's how stupid people are. They run around and tell people they're in their midlife. How do you know when midlife is when you don't know when it ends? I don't know if I'm middle-aged or not. I may be on the finish line as far as I know. I don't know. And that's why God's really called us in a very wise way. Live today. Does that make sense? Not tomorrow, not the next day. When? Today. So today, has this made sense? What are you going to go tell them? Tell the city. Cross works. Still works in the young generation. What do you think? Y'all may say, Pastor Steve, it ain't fashionable. It never has been. It ain't cool. Never has been. I mean, when did Jesus ever write this? I've come so that the world might think you're cool. Where did he write that? I've come so that people will really be into you. No, he said, I've come. For everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. It's the most important message I know, guys. Right there in Scripture. Amen. I'm not the smartest guy God's ever called to preach. I really frustrate intellectuals. They go, man, we can't understand why God uses you. I said, because I only believe in the cross. And you all try to tell people how wonderful and what wonderful thinkers you are. And since I've had lunch with you, I know you're full of crap. And here's the difference between me and you. I'm very aware of that. So the hope is not what I've thought. The hope is what God has done. The hope is not what we observe. The hope is what God has given. Does that make sense? Barry, have you ever been around some smart people? Yeah. How many of y'all have been around smart people that messed everything up everywhere they went? Yeah. Like, we had this preacher one time, he was sitting, he'd like to tell us how smart he was. He'd like to tell us how smart he was. I mean, he was a big-time preacher. He was one of the big first kind of preachers, you know. we were in seminary. My old country buddy just busted him one day. He was sleeping in a chair in our room as he was taking his seminary classes. He's doing his doctoral work, and he was telling everybody how smart he was. This good old country boy, he's just a good old country boy, loving the Lord up there at seminary. He looked, and he said, "Well, I ain't reckon you're really as smart as you put on, because you're sleeping in an old chair, and I'm laying down in a bed." You know, there comes a time to look at what happens with what people say is wonderful. Well, I know. Today, if you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins," God will forgive you and you will never be the same. How many of y'all aware of that? Some of you have already done that, and you need to make that step of obedience and say, "You know what? It's time for me to come and be baptized." Some of you today, guess what? You'll have that response that Paul talked about. He said, "Man, Aris talks about the cross and resurrection all the time. I'm going to show the world that I can be saved without Jesus." We'll see. But your knee will bow, and you will say, "Jesus is Lord." Everybody's going to say that. The Bible said everybody's going to say that. But Jesus is not going to say everybody's His. Now, in our culture today, everybody starts whining about that, and we say, "That's not what? Fair." Well, it may not be. But guess what? Here's where people in America are going to be stalkingly surprised. God has a consequence. And if you reject Him, you won't go to hell. You'll just continue in hell. See, that's another word we've gotten all mess up. People say, "Well, they're going to hell." No, they're in hell. Without Jesus, you're in what? Hell. You go, "Is that why I feel so bad?" That'd be one of the reasons. But you don't have to stay there. Well, let's stand together, man. Good word today from God. Amen. Go tell them about the power of the cross. It still works in the 21st century. Lord, I pray that our culture would get a good reality of your cross, the power of it. And when they say it's foolish, Lord, may we just continue to preach on. And when they say it won't work anymore, Lord, may we preach the cross some more. And Lord, when they say it hasn't changed the lives of people, may we become evidence of those lives. And so, Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus, you can look at me. You don't have to close your eyes. Listen, if you've never asked Jesus in your life, why don't you tell Him, "Lord, I know I broke the Ten Commandments. I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be forgiven." Somebody's going to call on Him this morning. "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin." If you've done that, be like Brooks today. Follow that commitment, that testimony. Stand up and say, "You know what? I want to show the world I've been buried in Jesus and risen in Jesus." Let's let this altar happen. Listen, guys, I want you to come and pray today. Listen, I pray. I got to have us praying. We got to be praying. Is this a serious time in history? Yes, it is. A lot of things changing real rapidly. Those changes don't bother me. Because we got one change we can make in the church that would change a lot of things. Let's come and pray for people we know that don't know Jesus. And let's pray that we will be excellent messengers of the cross. Amen. And if we stay there, guess what? I don't care what else goes on, we'll be all right. How many of y'all trust Jesus that much? If we'll stay in Him, we'll be what? We'll be all right. Okay, the altar's open. Come on, guys. We live in a nation where we can come and freely pray. Are we going to take advantage of that? To come and freely pray, to give our lives to Christ. Thank you, Lord.